safety committee and who we are. Okay. A host and panel introduction, an introduction to distracting behavior. We will have an open chat for questions. And in that chat, all of the hosts will be able to see your questions, but we're the only ones that are going to see those questions. Alaska will present Zoom updates. We will have a reading and talk about the Big Red Book Tradition 9 on service safety. We will then do a takeaway recap on the things that we'll be discussing today in terms of personal inventory, group inventory, tradition 4, and the group conscience. And then depending on how our time goes, more follow-up questions in the chat. And then we will do a closing, including a tradition meditation, which we will close with. And take it away, Dove.
Well, first off, we want to thank all of you that have joined us for being here, taking time from your, I assume it's still Sunday for everybody that's here. I'm not sure where the time zones are, but we're glad you're here to be with us. This is a presentation by the virtual meeting subcommittee of the Meeting and Service Safety Ad Hoc Committee. And this is our presentation on distracting behavior in online meetings. Everybody,
this is you. Tradition 9.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought that was you. Tradition 9, ACA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And if everybody would join me in whatever language, whatever words you choose, higher power, may I remember that ACA and its meeting and service structure are different than my family of origin. May I be patient and avoid reaching for the easiest way out when I am confronted with a difficult situation. Help me and my ACA group ask for help in keeping our meeting safe and recovery oriented. Also, help us celebrate the things we do right.
And this is Rich.
Yep, so introduction. So I'm an adult child, my name's Rich, and I'm in Albuquerque. Aaron asked us to talk about some of the committees we're on so that hopefully people listening can hear the different committees that are out there. And I think all the committees probably need new volunteers and help. I'm in the MSSC committee, Service Norms Committee. I've been on multiple others in the past, but I think those are the two. Oh, and H&I, I'm the H&I chair right now. And I'll be helping to moderate today's event. And our tech hosts today are Mary Jo. You want to introduce yourself, Mary Jo? Or?
Sure. I am Mary Jo, and I am actually not a member of this group per se, but I'm on a number of committees, IT, which is one of the reasons I'm here. And then I'm also on ballot prep, ABC, and OPPM committees.
I just want to ask for a second. We who have been in service talk a lot with alphabet soup.
Thank you. Ballot prep committee, which is BPC, but I already said, I think that. But IT, information technology. ABC, which is the annual business conference, and also the the ACA World Convention, and then the OPPM is operating policy and procedures manual. committee.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Justin?
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin. I'm an adult child, and I'm not on any committees, but I'm happy to serve today.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
In our panel, we have Erin.
Hi, everybody. Also, Rich mentions H and I that he's on, which is Hospital One Institutions. I am Erin D. I'm from out near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. I'm the board liaison to the Meeting and Service Safety Ad Hoc Committee. I am on the Literature and Spirituality Committee. I am returning back to the Delegate Engagement Subcommittee for the Annual Business Conference. And I'm not sure what else I'm on. Thank you.
Thanks, Erin. Alaska?
All right. Hello, I'm Alaska. I'm in San Francisco. And let's see, I'm on the MSSC, which is Meeting and Service Safety Committee, which is this committee. Also Service Network Committee. And I am currently serving as the overnight Zoom coordinator for the 2022 AWC. And also on the ABCAWC host committee team for on-site AV and programming there too as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Alaska. Dove?
Hi, I'm Dove. I'm currently living in Apache Junction, Arizona. I'm co-chair of the Meeting and Service Safety Committee, Ad Hoc Committee. I attend the Arizona Intergroup and Region 2.
Thanks, Dove. And those are our panelists.
Okay, so next I'm up and I'm going to talk a little bit about how we got to becoming a panel discussion. So what initially happened was the Meeting and Service Safety Committee, which was formed in 2020 from the annual business conference, was tasked to create presentations on the top three behaviors that became issues or that members found difficulties with in online meetings. The first of those was domineering behavior, which we did a presentation earlier this year, and it is recorded. You could still listen to that on audio downloads on adultchildren.org. The second one, which we will be doing today, of course, is on distracting behaviors in Zoom meetings. And in third place was Zoom and account management, which we'll talk a little bit more about at the end of this presentation so that you can join us there. What did the survey say was what members found to be distracting behaviors. So you probably relate to walking around, eating a meal, cleaning, smoking, animals, children present, coloring. We could come up with a list of 500 or more things. As often happens when volunteers get together to discuss a project, we found ourselves engaged in learning about the reasons behind behaviors and recognizing how and what could be distracting to one person may not be distracting at all to another. And as we ourselves employ curiosity over criticisms, we found ourselves taking our own personal inventories. And as a result of that, we found that the discussions that we were having were just so engaging that instead of doing a workshop, we decided to do a panel discussion to clue everybody in on it. What we asked Rich to serve as our moderator, intentionally, Rich was not privy to a lot of our months of conversation leading up to this because we wanted to have him there to just kind of have more of a seasoned conversation and to join in with his first thoughts as well. Let's see. So that's our moderator's role for Rich. And talked about distracting behaviors, distractions as subjective. And then we'll also be talking about how self-care is a two-way street, which you'll certainly come to understand more as the questions unfold. And next up is Rich. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I got you. I know. So at this point, we're going to open up the chat function. So everyone that's on the meeting, if you have questions about distracting behavior, you can start to write them out and put them in the chat. And then as your questions pop up, we will present those to the panelists. And while you guys are doing the chat stuff, Alaska is going to share some Zoom function management skills. Alaska?
Yes, hello. So I personally have an iPhone and an HP laptop. So those are the two types of Zoom applications I'm going to be showing where some of the controls are. If you have a different phone or a different type of computer, it will most likely be a little bit different, but you could probably figure out most things from seeing mine. So I'm gonna have to open up like each picture separately. It's kind of annoying, but anyways, so some of these settings that are nice to know about in meetings are settings where you can turn off other people's video if other people and their video having their video on is distracting to you. There are settings where you can turn off all incoming video, and so it'll just show like their initials, or it'll show their picture if they happen to have a picture on their profile. There's a setting to hide participant pictures. So if somebody say had a photo or something on their little profile picture that you didn't like, you can turn off participants' pictures. And I'll show you how to do all those things. I'm just kind of like thinking of like what the different things are. So for on a phone, you want to go to settings, which is usually like this little coggy thing, gear thing, and then go to meetings. And then there are different, here are the different types of settings. This turn off my video will turn off your camera so that it just shows something like this. And let's see one. All right, so here are the ones that you may want to know about. So if the subtitles, and I would like to ask that the subtitles be turned on for this meeting, if possible, if the host could do that, please turn on transcript. If the transcript text bothers you, you don't want to see it, you find it annoying, you go to this setting here, show closed captioning, or don't show closed captioning, and then that will turn.
Alaska, we can't see. Yes, your screen has not changed.
We're seeing the same screen as the original.
Okay, that means I have to stop and start again. Okay, so it's this one. All right, so once you go to meeting settings, then it is called show closed captioning. And you can turn this off or on. Right now it's on off. Show non-video participants. So this will, if a person has their camera off, it'll show like their profile picture or this little white blob thing. But if you don't want to see anybody's pictures, you can have it not show non-video participants. And the control setting for turning off all video or incoming video is let's see. I think that's I think it's turn off my video, actually. When I said that that'll turn off your video, it'll turn off all video. So if you don't want to see anybody's video because they're moving around or something, then that's how you do that. And then the other thing is that you want to kind of make sure that your Zoom is up to date. And so I'll show you how to get to those controls on a laptop. All right, so on a laptop, if you want to turn off incoming video, or you want to change the view, if you don't want to see like everybody's little squares, you can go to the top right hand corner and you just kind of hover over in that area, and then a window will come up. And so you can change the view from gallery, which shows all the little pictures, to just speaker view, and it'll show whoever's talking most in like one big picture, and then everybody else in smaller pictures. And then you can choose stop incoming video here, and then that will stop everybody's video. You won't see anybody's video. All right. And the other one I will show is how to turn off a transcript. You don't want to see that.
So I just want to give everybody a reminder, while Alaska's showing you some of these self-care options that you can be doing if you're feeling distracted by something, the chat is open for you to, if you have any specific questions or concerns that you would like us to discuss or talk about, that chat is open for you to submit those questions.
All right, this picture is not very good, but on the bottom of the toolbar, there'll be a live transcript button, and that's where you go and you can choose hide subtitles. I think that bar is there even if, that button is there even if you're not a host or whatever, I'm pretty sure, yeah. So those are the main ones. If there was another one or something, I'm not sure if, the other option was to put a sticky note over somebody's picture, but we'll get to that. Anyways, thank you. That's what I got, yeah.
Thanks, that's good. So we do not have any questions yet in the chat. So like Aaron said, if you have questions about distracting behavior, please write them out. And this is mine. This is tradition nine. And I'm actually going to read the whole tradition. Tradition nine, ACA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And then this is an excerpt out of the Big Red Book on page 533. While a committee on group safety might sound like a reasonable idea, the truth is such a committee would lead to unnecessary organization. And a chat just popped up and it blocked my screen. A safety committee would lead, I'm starting over. While a committee on group safety might sound like a reasonable idea, the truth is such a committee would lead to unnecessary organization. A safety committee would take away from the power of group members to handle their own affairs. The committee would place group safety in the hands of a few people when safety is a responsibility of each member. A committee on group safety would invariably lead to a set of rules that groups could use to expel troublesome ACA members. Bad idea. Our experience shows that we cannot organize committees or create rules to expel anyone unless we want to ignore traditions nine or tradition three. Within ACA, we simply don't have that kind of power. The ninth tradition reminds us to avoid trying to create such power with rules.
Rich, that reminds me that there's one more setting that I show people, which is how to turn the chat banner off. And that's under, you go to the same, like the little, the options, which is actually on a different panel if you're on a laptop. And then go to chat. There's like a separate section for chat. And then if you scroll down to the bottom, and I'm going to kick you off for a second, Aaron, and show this picture. It's kind of blurry, but so here's the chat option, and then you kind of like scroll down, and down at the bottom it says show notification banner on screen until dismissed. So you can uncheck that, and then the little chat banner won't come up when a chat gets sent and then block your view, because that's also very distracting. So
okay, thanks, Alaska. And Aaron will screen share the where we're at right now in the conversation, but I believe we're in the open chat now, and we did get a question.
Just before we go there for one second, Rich, one of the things we wanted to touch base on with Tradition 9 was about kind of explaining that the meeting and service safety is an ad hoc committee, and this tradition explains a little bit about why it's an ad hoc committee, meaning that we are not here forever, and what the purpose of this committee and the subcommittees under it is to develop resources, not create rules. So if you think of that slogan, resources, not rules, that's what we are here for. And part of what today is about, to give some resources, but not to tell anybody what to do or how they need to do it, that your group, out of their group conscience, will make those decisions together as a group.
Great clarity, Aaron. And WSO, or this committee, did not, you know, WSO did not say we needed to start this committee. This was from a ballot that was given last year at the ABC. So this was a meeting suggestion, and that we as a committee formed and are trying to address. Anything else, Aaron? You're muted.
Correct. It was from the annual business conference. And as you heard Mary Jo talk about being on the ballot prep committee, it was born actually from a floor motion, from a motion that a group submitted, which all groups can submit up until the end of September. And so this was born out of that. So, yeah.
Okay, we're in the open chat part and we have a question. And I'm not going to name people who sent the question, you know who you are. But the question is the pros and cons of requiring everyone to have their camera on. Who wants to take that one?
Can
you read that again, please? I'm sorry.
The pros and cons of everyone having their camera on during a meeting.
Oh, okay, thank you.
I can start the discussion on that. There are several pros, there are several cons. Pros is we can see one another. We know who's there. We know who you are. We know who we're speaking with. We're typically we're used to looking at a person when we're talking. So talking to a black hole is occasionally disconcerting, but we're used to seeing people's faces. So that's a pro. A con, when it's off, anything that that person might be doing, we don't see what they're doing. That can also be a detriment. One of the examples that I gave of this very thing is I feel threatened when I can't see who's there and I have no idea who's there. That comes from my background. I have been attacked from behind. I was blindsided. So for me, it is very threatening not being able to see who's there. Having a name there kind of helps because I can associate that with a person. I have experienced where there was no name, no picture, and no video. And I was very definitely activated by that. So that's the beginning thoughts on my part. Anyone else?
Thanks.
I can speak a little bit to it. When I think about the pros and cons of it, and what I feel grateful about is kind of what Alaska was showing us, that Zoom now has different self-care things that I can do. So if I am in a meeting where there is camera, then I can turn them off. Okay. But when I think about questions like this and the pros and cons, you know, maybe if one of the cons is that somebody's moving around or eating or smoking or something that's triggering me, that what I recognize in terms of an ACA, as opposed to like, this is funny because I was having this conversation with my husband, telling him what we were doing today, and he's in another fellowship. And he just kind of like laughed a little bit, like, who cares? Like, who cares what somebody's doing or what I see on camera? And I was like, okay, yeah, I can agree with that. Who cares? I just focus on myself and my own recovery. But then I thought of one of my sponsees and some other fellow travelers who have complex post-traumatic stress syndrome, and how them seeing something, or even a Zoom bomber seeing something that happens, could be so triggering to them that they would end up wanting to leave the meeting. So, you know, pros and cons are something that, you know, if I am in that place where I'm somebody who is that sensitive to what I'm going to see on the screen, then that's something that I would probably bring up at a business meeting and find out, is this the right meeting for me? If that's what's goes on for me. So thank you, I pass.
Thanks, Aaron. And unless, Alaska, do you have anything to say on that? We've got a question that I think segues in very well right here.
Yeah, I've got stuff to say. So I feel like the camera on or off thing for me personally is that this is some place where one's personal self-care can come in. I understand that people have different ideas of what is what a meeting should be, and people may compare in-person meetings to Zoom meetings, and there's really no comparison. As a person of color, I go to BIPOC meetings that say that you have to have the camera on all the time. And they say that out of, it's for a need to, for safety, to know that that person is indeed a BIPOC person. But I personally know three people who are mixed heritage, and they are white passing, and they've been kicked out of BIPOC meetings. And so I don't feel like that's a solution. And in other BIPOC meetings that I'm in, we just ask people to self-identify. We just ask them. We don't make them turn their camera on. We just ask them. And, you know, I mean, I can see reasons for why people wouldn't want to turn their camera on. I can understand reasons why people would want people to turn their camera on. I think I would err on the side of whichever would be the easiest for one to practice one's own self-care. And then also while allowing the most people to be able to attend the meetings who need to attend. Thanks. And I also do have a question too. Somebody sent me a question.
Okay. So the question that was sent that I thought segued in well here, can I turn off someone's video so that I'm the only one who can't see it? Or would the Function Alaska demonstrate turn off the video for everyone? Alaska, do you want to take that question?
It will turn off everybody's video. You can't just turn off one person's video. You can pin one person's video, which would mean that would be the only video you see. So if you don't want to see other people's video and somebody just has like their name and that's like something that you can look at and that's fine, you can pin that video, but no, you can't. Only the host can turn off individual people's videos, host or co-host.
Which would be an option if there was disturbing behavior going on. I don't know if any of you were on the Australia meeting where Claudia Black was sharing, but at the first there was a bomber and it was very disruptive, but thank God the host knew how to shut that off fairly quick. Either Doug or Aaron, do you want to speak to this question? Any other tech stuff that you want to add to that about turning off the function?
I got asked a question about, so does that mean that the host or co-host has the right of decision of when to turn a person's video on or off? And I would say no, that would be a group conscience decision where they, you know, say it could be said in the format or something where it says if you have your video on and you're moving around a lot, the host may turn off your video in, you know, in order to prevent it from being distracting. And in a case like that, then yes. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I think that that is only for, in the case of a Zoom bomber, where somebody, you know, comes in and is doing something obscene or whatever, and then the host can. But otherwise, no, I don't think that it's up to the host or co-host just to decide to turn off somebody's video because they don't like them or something.
And I can speak a little bit to that, you know, so if there's something happening in a meeting and different members are starting to feel like, well, we need to turn that person's camera off or something. So whether that's actually, you know, an immediate group conscience that happens right then and there, or whether someone decides on their own as a tech host to shut it off, that in the format of my home group, we do, you know, we do ask in the format, you know, we ask you to refrain from moving around, eating, blah, blah, blah. It's just, that's just what we ask. Okay. But if it comes to like, there was a person who was always moving around, walking around during the meeting, and it did feel a little bit distracting to people, and the person, you know, I guess, just never really paid attention to what was being said in the format. And so, you know, the tendency that we hear in the meeting and service safety emails are complaints about how it got dealt with, domineering behaviors and how it got dealt with and such. And for me personally, I stop and I think to myself, if I was that person being distracting, somebody else found me distracting, how would I want to be spoken to? And if I sit back with that thought, like, how would I want somebody to tell me, you know, and if I think about service is about service with love, then just sitting and thinking with that is going to help me. And I'm probably not going to say it right there during the meeting. I might turn that person's camera off, you know, for my own self. But I might say something, you know, after the meeting, or I might check in with the person if I know them and just kind of say, you know, I hope you're doing okay. It sounds like you're having a hard time, finding time to be still with the meeting. Did you want to talk about anything? You know, just trying to find a loving approach to give that message. You know, how would I want it? Would I want to hear that? So, okay.
And I will add one thing. I have experienced this where, and this, I'm going to tell on myself now. I was the host, or I am the host of a group. And we had our meeting, and it's a hybrid meeting. So there are people in person and on Zoom. So as we were talking, all of a sudden this box appears, no name, no picture, no nothing. And I asked if the person would identify themselves so we knew who was even there, so we could greet them. Would not respond at all. I tried three times to get a response. They would not respond. So I, and this is the wrong thing to do, I will say that up front, I kicked them out. I locked them out. And because I thought I knew who it was. Afterwards, it turns out I was correct. It was the husband of a woman in the ACA group. He is not in ACA, does not attend the ACA, does not choose to be in any kind of recovery. And he was actually trying to figure out what she was talking about. I did apologize to the group for overstepping my bound. It was inappropriate for me to take it upon myself to simply lock him out. However, she said, I'm glad you did, because that's why he was there. So, you know, there are always those two sides. And it was a great experience for me because it showed me something about my recovery. It activated me because of my history. And once I saw that, I could go, wow, I really did the wrong thing there. So that's just another experience of this. Pass.
Thanks, Deb. And we have, so the question that we were just discussing, the person who presented the question wrote back and said that this is confusing, and I'm agreeing with her, so I'm adding this on. So the original question was, those functions that Alaska demonstrated, can if I'm disturbed, can I turn off just that person's camera, or will it turn off everyone? And the follow-up question was that this person thought these new Zoom functions were like self-care functions, that I could shut off just one person's screen, but Alaska said that is not the case. So Alaska, can you verify that is, we cannot just shut off one person's screen. It'll either shut off all the video or none. Is that correct?
Yes, as a participant, yes.
Okay, thank you. And a new question, do you, and these have all been kind of techie questions, and we're going to move on. The tech questions have kind of stopped here. Do you happen to know how to turn off the chat banner on a laptop? Is that in the website Zoom account?
Yeah, that was the last thing I just talked about. You go to the options, and then there's like a row of all the different, like video, audio, chat is one of the options. You go to chat, you scroll down to the very bottom, and the second to the last little checkbox is the about banners, and you can have it uncheck that box and it'll turn off the banner.
Okay, thank you. So, and evidently my microphone's given some background noise. I apologize for that. So yeah, Aaron.
Okay. Yeah. So what we're going to do right now, and this is part of what we call the takeaways, or we anticipated being the takeaways from this. We have three slides that are going to come up next, which might actually trigger some new questions. And these slides will be posted later during the week on the virtual meetings subcommittee webpage at acawsa.org. We would also invite you to share these with your group. So I'm going to start off on the first one here. This was a lot of conversation for all of us, that as we looked at what was distracting and we learned about what was distracting, doing the personal inventory. So an example was that some of the things that came up from the survey were people that would find, it's distracting for me that someone has their pet there. It's distracting for me that somebody is obviously just keeps writing and writing and writing, or it's distracting to me somebody's playing a musical instrument or whatever, okay? And then we would end up, as we were talking about it and hearing what we were finding out, we were finding out that there were times when actually so-and-so's therapist told them, doodle during the meeting because you have focus problems, ADHD or something, that it actually helped the person be more attentive to what was happening on. The other thing is, you know, pets, people that have actually service dogs or therapy dogs where they're in a meeting, they're just anxious about being in the meeting. And so they're petting the animal, okay? So there were all these different things that, you know, I might be sitting there going, man, that person really gets under my skin because they keep doing, they always have their dog there. They always are doodling. They're not paying attention, blah, blah, blah. And so what we started to look at, well, if that is the case, then maybe I need to be taking my personal inventory about this. And so some of the questions that we came up with were, am I taking it personally? Why is it bothering me? Where is it coming from? And then what can I do about it? So it's, you know, looking at the inner child, looking at why am I taking it personal? What is the feeling behind my maybe intensity of what I'm watching? So are the things we find distracting things that our parents or caregivers may have criticized us over? You're not paying attention, you know, those types of things. And that, so once again, Dove likes to use the expression, if you spot it, you got it, or the hysterical is the historical. Those are great slogans, and I attach to anybody who gives me a slogan, that those help me look at myself, okay, and get in touch with the feeling, drop the storyline, and then try to understand, well, once I realize why it's affecting me, I'm more able to sit with it, okay? Am I letting myself be distracted or dissociating from my own recovery by focusing on behaviors of others that I'm powerless over? So it, you know, is it a step one thing? You know, am I looking at the desire to control something because I'm having trouble just getting in touch with my own self, my own feelings? You know, and do I need to be practicing my own boundaries better by not being so concerned with what's happening with somebody else? What self-care can be employed during the meeting if I am triggered? So it kind of goes back to what can I do about it and some of the options that Alaska just gave us. Am I meeting my personal needs outside of meeting time? So am I beginning to find that promise of playing and have fun in my life, so that when I get to the meeting, I'm not hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, and just, you know, being more aware of other people instead of being able to sit and be with myself. And then what if I am the distractor? How can I do self-care and still be respectful of others? And that to me goes back to, what if I am the distractor? How would I want to be spoken to? And if I am the distractor, you know, then I'm thinking for myself, it's a matter of thinking about is why am I reacting? If I'm the distractor, am I reacting? Is this inner teenager? That's tends to be the rebellious one for me. So is the distraction kind of rebellious? So how do I do that self-care? How do I get in touch with that part of me that is being distracted? Or am I not even aware that it's being distracted? And is it that simple, you know, that I need to have compassion and respect for the other people, gentleness, humor, love, and respect for the rest of the people during the meeting? So we'll go to Dove and the personal inventory, or the group inventory, I'm sorry. You are muted.
So, yeah. The group inventory is, we're saying, is everybody's responsibility. In my group, obviously, we talk about what's best for the group. How is a behavior affecting the welfare of the group? If there is... And here's where the group conscience comes in. If something is going on as a group, we can say, is this okay with the group? And the second question, are we losing members? Do people walk away? And is it because there was something going on in the meeting that they didn't voice so that we can't even address it? When does a behavior take away from the ability to focus on the content of a meeting? Background noise. It can be disruptive. It can be distracting. Pets. Anything can be a behavior that can stop my ability to focus, but that takes me back to the personal inventory. why is this bothering me? Where is my part in that? Are meetings or meeting members trying too hard to control the recovery of others? Well, and that is something that the group and each of us personally has to look at. Are we being too narrow in our thinking? You must have the camera on. Well, there might be reasons to have it off. You must have the camera off. Well, there could be reasons that somebody wants it on. So are we being too narrow in our thinking? Is it an intentional distraction? This is one that does come up. I've participated in meetings where it was intentional, and that then should be addressed as a group, just like Aaron was saying, in their format, in the beginning format. They talk about, you know, what they would ask of the participants. And it usually comes up because something happens. And so we as a group do a group conscience and add that to our format. When does safety become a domineering behavior? If I sit back and I am continually saying, well, I don't feel safe when somebody does that. Well, you know, my personal inventory's got to come into that. What is my part of it? Because that's the blessing of our group is recovery. And part of that is spotting it, looking at it, dealing with it, healing. Does a behavior violate a tradition? And here's where we would look at tradition 3, and I'll read the full. The only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. And tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. So that's my part of it, and I'll pass.
And then also tradition 9 about, I don't know if you wanted to elaborate on tradition 9.
Tradition 9, ACA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve. We don't set up rules. We don't have, we don't regulate what anyone can and cannot do. We can ask, we can suggest, and we stay true to what we're here for, and that's to recover.
And I would like a little also input on the one that you read, Dove, are meetings or members, meeting members trying too hard to control the recovery of others, and what you were talking about there. It's like I've been in meetings where, you know, there's like you were saying, one person that kind of keeps voicing what they want because it's about their safety. And it gets to the point where, you know, it may only be that one person saying it, but that one person is saying it so persistently and so loudly that it's drowning out the voices of everybody else. And it's as if only that person matters. So that'll take you back to our domineering behavior workshop that was recorded. but you know, and this is why doing that group inventory and allowing everyone to speak up, not just that one voice, to determine from this group inventory, you know, where we need to go with what is the next slide that Alaska will present. There you go, Alaska.
All right. I don't know if I can make it big enough for me to see. All right, tradition 4, autonomy and the group conscience. How, when is a group conscience taken? What has the group decided on when to take a group conscience? When asking for an immediate group conscience, does the group vote on whether to do it right then after the meeting or at the next business meeting? is there any distracting behavior that would constitute taking a group conscience, nudity, alcohol? What distracting behaviors are unacceptable? When is it okay to mute or shut off another member's mic or camera? What is or isn't appropriate for the group to ask in its format? And what is appropriate to ask of a group member in regards to distracting behavior? Who should ask it? Tradition four, meditation, higher power, help my home group remain focused on the 12-step process of recovery while still having its own personality and flavor. When the actions and decisions of my group might affect ACA as a whole, may we find the spirit of cooperation and willingness to seek help from the ACA service structure. My group is autonomous, but it is not alone. The question that comes up for me is that you know, I mean that it, you know, like, so it also says in the Big Red Book that the minority opinion is often the most important opinion. And for things like immediate group consciences, one person can ask for an immediate group conscience. But then it is up to the group to decide whether or not to have that group conscience immediately or at another time. So it's an odd so what I've found personally is that that in the end it's not about the answer, or it's not about like whether we do something or don't do something, but it's just hearing what people have to say, I think is more important, and why autonomy is important. I mean, if there's something in particular that that you want to address towards this right now. I mean, I'm not really sure what Aaron, what you wanted, if you wanted me to answer these questions or
okay. You're doing fine, Alaska. Kind of recapping there, the group, the whole thing about the group conscience and deciding about how are we going to handle these distracting behaviors. If I've taken a personal inventory, I've brought it to my group, and then in tradition four, you know, there, it's not like somebody comes back to say, oh, let's go to WSO and see what would they tell us to do. Well, WSO isn't going to tell you what to do. We don't have rules, we have resources. And so tradition four is one of the things we often, when we get emails, oftentimes we're kind of going back and we're saying, well, remember tradition four, your group gets to decide. And so one, like, as it's saying in the first two questions there, you probably want to check in with your group kind of proactively. How do we want to handle a group conscience if it comes up immediately in the meeting? Would we then take the first group conscience of, do we want to handle this right now? Is this really important to the safety and the serenity at this very moment? Do we do it after the meeting, or do we take it to a business meeting? So that's the group making that decision. When is it okay to mute or shut off another member's micro camera? That's for your group to make that decision. What is or isn't appropriate for the group to ask? These are all business meeting types of things that you guys would discuss. what is appropriate to ask of a group member in regard to a distracting behavior and who should ask it. If we look back at tradition 9, now if that's that big red book, remember, is all about in-person meetings. Now we're online. So we've found so many different things that come up online that maybe the answers aren't in that big red book, which is why we have this ad hoc committee. But if you think back to the big red book, it's like two or more people go out of love and respect to the person. But the group makes that decision about who and how and what you're going to talk about. So it might be something that in the chat, they might ask the person, you know, can you stay after the meeting? Or can we catch up with you by text or something like that? Okay. But it's the group's decision, not one person going out and speaking for the group.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Erin. I guess I would also really reiterate the whole idea that that each group is autonomous. And it makes it a little confusing when it says a willingness to seek help from my ACA service structure. but I guess, you know, that is just more for resources, as Erin is saying. But questions like, you know, that I hear a lot are, can we read Tony A's 12 steps because it's not conference approved? Can we read CPT Pete Walker's book because it's not ACA literature? Any of those things, if the group decides that it wants to read it, absolutely, you can read it in your meeting. What makes it an ACA meeting, it says in the book, is if you read the other thing, if you read the problem, if you read the solution, if you read the 12 steps, if you read the promises, laundry list, it's an ACA meeting. And a lot of times people do come to the WSO and say, ask, you know, what constitute distracting behavior for group conscience. That's up to the group. There is no set thing. I mean, even something like nudity or alcohol, if the whole group decides that nudity is fine, then nudity is fine. And then if somebody comes in and they're like, whoa, everybody's naked, I don't like this, then they can find another meeting. But there was that group's conscience to decide to do that. The only thing they can't do is things that are like illegal. And that sort of happened with the meeting. But otherwise, I think the thing here to remember is just that each group gets to decide for itself what is right and for itself, but that personally, before I take something to a group conscience, I mean, I run my own inventory on is this really something that is going to affect the entire group, or is this just my problem? And you know, is this something that I'm trying to have control over or influence, or is this something that is from my past that is coming up in the present? Before I take something to the whole group, I think so. Yeah, thanks.
We had another question pop up that I think we can address here before we go to the closing. And the question is, sometimes on a phone meeting, people's phone number appears. Is it appropriate to ask the participant to identify themselves as an adult child and to give their name and last initial? And my response would be absolutely appropriate, but it probably needs to be a group conscience decision. I know in our hybrid meeting, we won't let people stay on a meeting that just use their phone number. Anyone else want to approach that question? Okay, Aaron, do you want to?
I keep forgetting, am I mute or I am on mute? So I also want to say that I know I've gotten a question or two that is actually what I want to say with the questions are, if they're not being addressed, I would suggest going and listening to the domineering behavior audio download, because it pertains to that more so than what this particular presentation is about. Let's see, let me find my slides again. And as you see, my very, very brief time in art school with my distracting colors and and fonts. Okay, in closing, our seventh tradition, and Alaska is going to put in the chat a link to donating to our seventh tradition, states we have no dues or fees, but that we are self-supporting. Or to donate, you can also go to the adultchildren.org website. I want to say thank you very much to our tech hosts, to Mary, Joe, and Justin. And maybe for a minute, since we did have 90 minutes for this, what we loved so much about this discussion was how much it had us talking and thinking. And so as you guys are listening to what we're saying, anything that you would want to chime in or contribute, Mary, Joe, or Justin?
I would only say that, you know, our open literature policy can become confusing for groups in general. And but we do have one, because we didn't have a big book early on and we didn't have other things in place. So we had an open literature policy from the beginning, and that is still in place. But yeah, that's all I'll say for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You can contact us at VSC, that's Virtual Subcommittee Alphabet Soup, at acawso.org. If you wanted to get a message to one of us specifically, you could email there and they can forward it to us, or you can reach us on Slack. If you are not on Slack and you would like to be on Slack, it's the platform where service work happens and the different committees meet. If you email that VSC and ask for an invitation to Slack, we can do that. There's also the events page where different events like this are announced. So a recording of this presentation will be available in the next few weeks at the audio downloads page on adultchildren.org. And our final workshop will be another one on Zoom account management. So, and we kind of hinted at some of those things today, you know, the ownership, what happens when it's a private person Zoom account and what kind of issues come up as a result of that. The different functions, issues related to taking a true group conscience, such as if it's a personal Zoom account and someone's not rotating service, the misuse of the chat, different scenarios like that. We'd like to thank you for spending this presentation time with us and hope that you'll share this information with your groups. Remember, I will have the slides posted. And we are now going to, unless we have any other questions, Rich, are there any other questions?
I don't see any other questions on chat, but we're going to go to follow-up questions now, right, for the rest of the time?
We most certainly could, and then we'll have Dove close us out.
Okay. And so while we're waiting for any follow-up questions in chat to come up, I was kind of keeping myself quiet when we were going through the slide that was talking about a personal inventory. And you know, one of the things that for me in ACA has just been a godsend for not only my interactions with other people, but for my own personal serenity is, you know, how we do the seventh step. So I'm going to back up. In another 12-step program under step 10, they talk about this being a spiritual axiom that whenever I'm uncomfortable with what's going on outside of me, there's something going on inside of me, right? And what, you know, I used to do is just go to those critical parent behaviors of, you aren't doing it right. I don't like your voice. I was going to use the analogy, and I pick on Dove frequently. Dove's stripes make me nauseated, right? And that's not true, Dove, but those are the kind of things we hear about, right? And that's all my critical parent making up stories about, everything you guys are doing somehow is upsetting me. And you know, so that's my critical parent. My healthy adult loving parent then starts developing new ways, new strategies of dealing with that. And, you know, the first one I was taught when I'm uncomfortable with somebody is to say the serenity prayer over and over, or God bless them, change me. Those two work. Serenity prayer over and over, that's a healthy adult shift in my thinking away from critical parent going, you guys did this to me, to serenity prayer, God bless them, change me. But now I'm going to roll into the seventh step. The way I understand the seventh step in ACA is very different from other 12-step programs. And that is, so I'm going to pick on Dove again. If I'm in a meeting and Dove's stripes are driving me crazy, I can do a seventh step where I ask my higher power to humbly ask my higher power to take away my defect of I'm being judgmental, critical in my thinking. That's my defect. And then replace it with the healthy behavior. So I'm asking my higher power to help me take away my character defect of being critical and judgmental. And then the healthy behavior I adopt to shift that thinking is the serenity prayer. God bless her, change me. You know, it's that shift from staying stuck in my critical parent role to a healthy adult loving parent, to that part of my spirit stepping up and really choosing to have a new behavior. Anyway, I hope that made sense on some level, but I've found the seventh step in ACA to be, you know, transformational if I actually practice it. Okay. Anybody else? I don't see any other questions that are popping up.
I'd like to visit something. I'm not sure why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This morning I was thinking about my recovery and this whole topic of distracting behavior. And there was a book years ago that I got, and I bought the book. I'll be honest and say I still haven't read the book, but the title of the book is Memories Buried Alive Never Die. And when I got into recovery, the other book title, which I haven't even bought the book, I've learned, is, well, that just went, so never mind. What that meant to me was the memories buried alive never die. When I'm in a meeting and something activates me and it upsets me for whatever reason, my first question is not, thank goodness anymore, what am I doing wrong? It's, why is this bothering me? Where's this coming from? Where is this? Because what I do know from that title is there's something there somewhere. And the gift of this recovery, the gift of being irritated by something that someone is doing, is my part of my recovery. Because if I can touch it, if I can bring it forward, which I've done a couple of times just in our preparing for this panel discussion, I can bring it forward and I can go, oh, dang, that's where this came from. And for me, I'm grateful to say, it has stopped irritating me. Now, I can still address it in a group conscience with my group, but I'm no longer activated by it. That to me is a gift. And I think there's a question or something.
There is a question, oh, which Alaska is going to find if I didn't explain it very well, which is not not uncommon when it comes to technology, where the Domineering Behavior Workshop recording is. So she's going to check that out and show it to us.
Okay.
So if we don't have any other questions, meanwhile, Rich, we can have the meditation and then Alaska can show us the recording.
Okay, and I think the meditation was going to be Dove, right?
It will be out.
Right, right. So tradition two, for our group purposes, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And so then for this part, just please take a deep breath and higher power. I understand that you make your voice heard in a group conscience. I ask you to remind me that the life of my program and therefore my own recovery depends on my willingness to put the group's welfare above my own will. Where I disagree with common view of my fellows in service, allow me to state my case honestly and respectfully. Allow me to listen to and consider the views of others. May I state my view and support all group decisions, including the ones I might disagree with. Your will, not mine, be done.
Thanks, everyone. I think we're at the end of our presentation. Aaron, Dove, Alaska, any closing comments?
No, only that, sorry, I just wanted to check back and see if there was anything that we had missed. That we definitely want to give much thanks to our tech hosts, Mary Jo and Justin, and we know Alaska's been doing a bit in that department as well as helping us prepare for this presentation. So thank you to all for your service. And thank you to everyone for being here. And as we said, we do hope that you will carry some of this message back to your groups if they're, you know, looking for any of these types of answers.
Alaska did post. Oh, sorry, Rich. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you do it.
Alaska did put the link so that you can get the audio download of the Domineering workshop that we did. It is in the chat.
Yeah, I also put in the chat a really great meeting on Wednesdays. It's a practicing boundaries meeting. It's like a 22-week long, series on boundaries, and it is excellent. And I think a lot of the things that we talked about here, especially the personal inventory, are all boundaries, boundaries stuff. And that meeting is really great. So it's in the chat.
Thanks,
I definitely want to thank everyone again for being here. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, Marius.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, Ardeep.
Everyone.